It's the first week of October, and the month already has a surprise for Filipinos. Pulse Asia, a major poll firm, releases two batches of survey results. The first shows President Rodrigo Duterte garnering 91% performance and trust ratings. The second shows 8 out of 10 Filipinos approving his government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The results are jarring because the Philippines, under Duterte's leadership, has suffered great blows from the health crisis. We have the highest number of positive cases in Southeast Asia and recently entered the 20 countries with the highest tallies. Our economy took a devastating blow from Duterte's lockdowns and is not recovering as fast as other nations in the region. Duterte has been criticized for saying he has no plan, save for waiting for a vaccine. In the mid all this came controversies like PhilHealth corruption and Duterte's pardon of killer Joseph Scott Pemberton.
The data that we release is data that is shocking. It's unbelievable. Even us would not in any way believe what we gathered.
That was Ronald Holmes, the president of Pulse Asia himself, speaking at a Foreign Correspondents Association of the Philippines online forum. So what's happening here? Is Duterte truly untouchable, his Teflon-like popularity proving itself once again? Or are there other factors at play? Welcome to episode 11 of Seat of Power. I am P. Renada, Rappler's Malacanang reporter, here to help you dissect the riddle of Duterte's sustained popularity amid the pandemic. Throughout the week, I've been listening to insights of various experts on Duterte's recent survey ratings. I compile and organize them for you in this podcast episode. The words of experts you will hear come from a forum organized by the Foreign Correspondents Association of the Philippines, or FOCAP. But first, a word on surveys. Many people wonder if polls conducted by Pulse Asia and social weather stations are accurate. Pulse Asia and SWS have been doing surveys on the Philippine president for 2 decades. The media and political analysts find their surveys credible because of their use of random sampling methods and scientific methodology. They typically select over 1,000 people to answer their surveys. These people are randomly selected from Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. The interviews are done face-to-face and in a standard manner. In most cases, the results of these two firms are pretty similar to each other, like in the case of Duterte, where both Pulse Asia and SWS surveys show he continues to have high numbers. So this gives you an idea that, at the very least, their surveys do capture a prevailing sentiment about Duterte. So what's the story behind Duterte's most recent sky-high ratings? Let's begin. First, the pandemic is a factor. The survey asked people to assess Duterte in the middle of a health crisis that has made people fearful for their very lives. It's a time when people are adjusting their priorities and counting their blessings, just because there is so much loss and danger all around. Risk consultant Bob Herrera Lim talks about this in the FOCAP forum.
I think the difference right now is there's this broad fear, right, that this is a pandemic. So people, I think, moved the, am I still alive? Is my family still okay? Up the scale in terms of just saying, as long as I'm fine. Yes, I don't have a job. Yes, we've had to depend on government handouts. All these things are all the negatives that in any other situation might have knocked his numbers down. But I think just the overwhelming fear, and again, you see that in the other survey numbers of the pandemic, caused people to think, okay, I will overweight my survival versus all these other variables, which in normal times would have mattered.
Crisis always changes people's perspective. Lucky for Duterte that this crisis was global and many other leaders messed up, like Donald Trump of the United States, the country worst hit by the pandemic. Duterte may have benefited from reference bias, as explained by political science expert Richard Hedarian.
There's something also called reference bias, and what has changed is expectations. You know, people are going to be more angry with the government when economic conditions are not good or there's inflation if they feel that it could have been better. But it's different now that they're looking around the world, looking at the US, I don't know, contracting by 30%, looking at tens of thousands dying in other countries. So the point is that their expectations has already been adjusted. That's why the decline in overall economic condition is not hurting Duterte, at least so far, as much as we would have expected.
In other words, people may not be thinking, it could have been better. They're thinking, it could have been worse. Crisis is also a time when most people rally around the leader, says political science expert Aris Arugay. For instance, right after the Marawi siege erupted and Duterte declared martial law in Mindanao, his public satisfaction ratings soared to record-breaking heights, according to SWS. Second, the timing of the survey. This is the first survey conducted during the pandemic. In March and June, Pulse Asia and SWS should have released their first quarterly surveys about Duterte's ratings, but they couldn't conduct those surveys because of the lockdowns. Yet those months were the time when the Duterte government was facing the brunt of criticism for its slow response and confusing policies. Some of the most alarming spikes in COVID-19 cases were being reported then. Many Filipinos lost their income and their freedom to move about. Confusing transportation policies left many stranded or reduced to walking for hours to their destination. Remember Michelle Silvertino, the mother who died waiting for a bus? She died that June. Lucky for Duterte, whatever sentiments people had about him then were never documented by Pulse Asia or SWS. What we see in the Pulse Asia survey are sentiments of people at a time when most lockdowns have been lifted. More people are back to their jobs, and many poor families have received emergency cash aid from the government. Duterte's task force has ramped up testing. There are more isolation facilities. Experts are starting to see a downward trend in cases nationwide. The last two reasons are factors independent of the pandemic. They could even explain Duterte's general tendency to score high in surveys. Third reason, most Filipinos have a personalistic way of assessing their leaders, especially the president. They don't really enumerate all the controversies or problems the government faces and trace them to Duterte, though he is the executive chief in charge of everything. Here's Ronald Holmes again.
You can have that sort of interpretation that the performance rating, although the question is with regard to the performance of the one's duty, the point that has been raised several times before is whether people know essentially what the president is supposed to do, what the vice president should do. So they might be basing their performance rating on their understanding, not of the president's functions or their assessment of the president's personality. I think with regard to national officials, what we've seen is that there are certain expectations that really just have to be met, and those expectations are low. One is that the president must, as much as possible, not be in any way affected by critical issues of personal integrity. Although there are people below him who might be charged with corruption, if the president is not seen as corrupt, then that expectation is met. Presidents are not directly held accountable for the failures of bureaucratic agencies, because those bureaucratic agents, more often than not, you blame the bureaucratic agency that you deal with rather than blame it on the president.
For many Filipinos, government is an abstraction, says Holmes. They know it exists. They acknowledge its influence in their lives when they receive cash aid. It may not matter to them if the aid comes from their city government or the national government, but they don't understand the bureaucracy and don't follow controversial issues blow by blow. What they do know is Duterte's personality, the kind of leader he projects himself to be, warts and all. Which leads me to the fourth and last reason. Duterte's political style and mastery of performative governance. It's what got him elected, and it continues to work for him. Here's Heydarian again.
He's the master of the art of performative governance. He's extremely good in projecting this image of someone who's in charge, who's so in charge that he can be openly and transparently emotional about his anxieties of leadership, and at the same time, his willingness to help the country, and at the same time, be humorous and joking about it.
A huge part of this performance are his weekly speeches, where he does everything from air his frustrations about the virus to complain about being stuck in the palace to threaten barangay officials who steal cash aid meant for the poor. He uses these televised speeches to appear responsive to issues that threaten his government's popularity. It could be stranded overseas Filipino workers one day, or exhausted medical frontliners calling for a timeout, or the 80 peso charge for a beep card that enraged commuters. It might not even matter to some Filipinos that Duterte can't explain testing or contact tracing himself. What's important is he's the one presiding over a meeting where his underlings can explain these things. Duterte still looks like he's in charge and in touch with the reality that many Filipinos face. Still, some experts can't help but think there's something about the Duterte presidency that could affect how people respond to surveys like Pulse Asia's. Fear. Duterte is very good at inspiring fear and wielding it to suppress opposition and get people to fall in line. Hidarian thinks survey respondents might think they need to give positive feedback on Duterte, or else.
What is the incentive to people to be completely honest about how much they like or dislike a president when, you know, just a few months ago or just the other day, some neighbor was, you know, shut down or was a victim of extrajudicial killing? So the climate of fear cannot be taken out as a potential factor.
Duterte is definitely a political phenomenon, but a big part of why his survey ratings are stellar is because of Philippine politics and Filipinos themselves. Personality-driven politics is still the name of the game. Many Filipinos have a very limited understanding of how government works and have different ways of measuring competence and trustworthiness. Unless we change, our politics won't, and neither will our leaders. Thanks for listening to Seat of Power. I'm P. Renada. Listen to Rappler's podcasts on SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts.
I mean, a lot of people, but not much for a lot, but I know that there are some people who would happily use I'm polyamorous label to basically justify anything, to justify sleeping around, to justify not committing, but that flies in the face naman of how we see it.
It's my choice not to be a mother, but I'm not, it's not
dissing on mothers,
on motherhood, diba? On
it's
parenthood.
Like a purely person-to-person basis.
I'm Marguerite Leon, host of Rappler's I've Got an Opinion, where I speak to ordinary people who have a lot to say about extraordinary issues. Listen in every other Wednesday at 8 p.m. on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.